I know it ain't the stallion. You know it's your girl.
On this episode of The Commercial Break.
I knew I better enter fast.
I knew I wanted to stick my dick in the envelope. That's what I knew. I better enter fast. So I finished my dozen Krispy Kremes, and I went to the post office, and I got myself some 2-cent stamps. And then I sent it back in, and then before you know it, I'm $10 million richer. I lost my wife and all my children.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and beautiful co-host, the Director of Aviation Services, Kristen Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chrissy.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Okay, I want to do an update from the last episode. Because remember I was telling you at the very end of the episode that someone had left a comment on one of our, like, on one of the reviews saying that Brian had appeared on a Patreon episode of I don't fucking know what the name of the podcast is and I don't care. But
we were confused.
We were confused because I'd never shown up on this podcast. I didn't even know the name of the podcast they were talking about. So in my inevitable internet research about this podcast and exactly what they do and who they are, I figured out that it's a wrestling podcast. I think the name is so ubiquitous that there are literally a million podcasts with the exact same name.
Okay.
So first dumb mistake you made is that you didn't spell out which version of that particular name of the podcast. There are 30 of them. And so how would anybody know which one to go to? Number two is I think I identified that it's a wrestling podcast that's only had like 17 episodes, but they were literally 5 years ago that these 17 episodes came out and they've rebooted the show. Same name, different RSS feed, different cover art. And what they did is they went around to almost every comedy podcast out there and they put the exact same review, which was 5-star, loved the show, loved the...
So-and-so was very funny.
In her insert name here, they were very funny on the Patreon episode of this, hoping that they could get someone, you know, catfished essentially into their Patreon. Let me tell you something. I know that The Commercial Break is not a good podcast. I understand that. I get it. We're not dumb over here. We are dumb over here. But we're not that
according
dumb.
According to my IQ
test. According to Chrissy's IQ test, 0.0, Mr. Blutowski. But we're not that dumb. And so what
we
this...
We just play one on the podcast.
Yeah, we just play dummies on the podcast. I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night, though. So these people didn't leave the name of the, like, they didn't leave any identifying information as to where you would find this supposed podcast on Patreon. And I don't think anyone's dumb enough to go sign up for your Patreon just because you left a comment and a review, because I got news for you. We love the reviews and we're likely the only ones that are reading them. So no one else reads, who the fuck reads reviews?
Yeah, we read them all.
I read them
all.
We
love them.
I read everybody else's reviews too. And I'm like, I can't say that. Don't do that. It's like reading other people's reviews is like a good guidepost as where you should go and where you shouldn't go. When I see a big controversy blow up on another comedy podcast in the comments,
in the
reviews, I'm like, don't go there. Mm-hmm. Hence the reasons we now only do Frankie B and Mountain Monsters, because everything else is too hot to handle. Apparently. That's it. But you didn't win this time, my friend. You may have gotten your review in, and there's nothing I can do about that. But if you see on our reviews, if you're one of the one people who actually read reviews of a podcast, and you see that it says that I appeared on another podcast, I have never appeared on another... I haven't appeared on another podcast in years. So don't get fooled. Don't be fooled into going to that wrestling podcast's Patreon. I don't want to see them make the money. However, I don't hate the player.
Somebody was trying a little guerrilla marketing.
I guess you got to give them a little bit of credit for the guerrilla marketing. But don't go over there. Don't pay them $5 to not hear me. If you want to hear me, just turn on one of the 600,000 episodes of The Commercial Break.
For free.
Literally for free. You don't have to do a goddamn thing. You don't have to pay anybody. We tried Patreon. You guys wouldn't pay for it. So,
well, we thought that they wouldn't, except, remember, you didn't actually check the... email box
that's true
stuff was coming to. We shut it down. We were like, nobody's listening here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like a year later, you said, oh, I did check that email, yeah. And people
about a year ago, we started realizing that some people were writing in and saying, I would do an ad-free version of the show on Patreon. And I was like, yeah, it's just it came and went. It was a good idea back then. We don't like it anymore. It's too much effort. I don't want to put all that effort into it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do you remember we were doing two fucking episodes for like a week? We did two.
Yeah, we did. That's how we started off.
We did one episode on Tuesdays, I think it was. And then we moved to Wednesdays because we couldn't manage to get up on Mondays and do the show. So we changed it to Wednesdays. And then we did a second episode for Patreon only. And I think there's like four episodes of that. But you can really tell. Or this is what we would do. We would end the show and we'd be like, we're going to continue the conversation over on Patreon. And then we were literally as boring as we could be for 20 minutes. And then we turned it off. It's like the worst of
we
the
tried,
worst.
We tried a newsletter too. Remember that?
The break room.
The break room
where you get free content every week. So after Patreon failed, we were like, well, we'll just give it to them for free, but they have to sign up for our newsletter. I think we had many happies from many potential scammers right. of the commercial break that wanted our break room. Many happies. Your podcast is many happies. Oh, thank you, sir. Your podcast is many happies, too. I'd like to appreciate you. The break room was worse than Patreon because then we really didn't give a shit.
No.
We almost gave a shit when someone was going to pay $5 a month, but we never gave a shit when no one was going to pay.
We had one meeting about it.
Yes.
Where you were like, you come up with this content, I'll come up with this content, and then it never materialized.
I wrote a story for that break room. I wrote like a funny thing, a funny paragraph. I don't think anybody opened the email.
Wasn't it about the review on? Hold on, it's coming to me. Amazon, the candy,
the candy,
people,
the
constipated?
Gummies. Yes, constipated. Not constipated. The other thing, they were running right through them. Yeah, I don't know if anybody remembers this, but for like a hot minute during the pandemic, everybody was getting the runs, and they supposedly from these Chinese gummies that were being sold on Amazon. So we bought some, and my kids ate them. Nice. We never even followed through on the experiment. We're so bad.
We are.
Yeah, I was watching this Instagram clip that we put on the other day, and it was like, I forget what I was saying. I was like, we do nothing. We're as lazy as we possibly can be. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what a rousing endorsement for our podcast. We're mediocre, and we get even worse when you get our free stuff.
I think we get sidetracked.
You think we get sidetracked? My three-year-old kid has a better attention span than we do.
We tried with the notebook, but
do you know what
know.
Happens
is
sometimes?
Tina, is Tina helping with the notebook?
Yeah, Tina's going to be in here tomorrow reviewing that notebook. Okay. You know what happens sometimes, I've realized? I don't, you know, I used to listen to the show like three or four times. Like if we record an episode and I listened to it three or four times because I edited the show forever and ever until last year when we got Christina. And Christina has been wonderful, but what she's done is she's taken me out of the loop of listening to the show after we recorded. Essentially, I don't listen to it very often. But when I was on vacation, I decided, well, let me listen to a few episodes and see where I think we can make improvements, right? I'm making an effort. Well,
everywhere.
Everywhere was the answer to that. That's right. There wasn't one episode where I was like, ah, that's spectacular. I was kind of like, well, there was one thing I laughed at there. But you know what? I got frustrated with us. You know why I got frustrated with us?
Why?
Because we really do get distracted very easy. Mm-hmm. I'll be on a train of thought. You'll say something, and we'll go off in a totally different direction. And I'm like, wait, I wanted to hear what I had to say on that subject. I'm so interesting to myself that I wanted to know what I was thinking. I don't even know what I was thinking because I didn't get the thought out. So, well. You know. Listen, I don't think that's going to change.
Look over here.
Yeah. Hey, shiny thing over here.
Squirrel.
Huh? Squirrel. Who's that? Doug the dog from Up? Squirrel. I see a squirrel. That was the best movie.
Up, I do love that
Up
movie.
Up was the first Pixar movie where I cried. I was like cried like a little baby.
Oh my God. It's so emotional. It's so sweet.
I got to be honest. The older I get, the more I like crying. I feel like I like crying. I do. When something gets me, I just don't feel afraid anymore to cry. And that's why I'm a little nervous about going to see Barbie movie with Astrid, is because I know there's going to be a moment in there where I'm going to be like, this is my daughter.
God, the Barbie movie is going bananas.
Barbenheimer or whatever they call it.
Well, that's the other movie.
No, but they call it Barbenheimer together. Because, it's the biggest opening for cinema ever. Yeah, period in a sentence. $450 million made between these two movies. I just think here in the United States, if I'm not mistaken. And it's Barbie.
You could be.
I'm definitely mistaken, but, you know, I'm going to pretend like I know what I'm talking about. Barbie and Oppenheimer. But that, you know, my brother went and saw Barbie, and he said it was really good. He said it was really good.
Our daughter went to go see it last night, and she said it was incredible. And they dressed up. They were all in their pink.
Yeah, I'll wear a pink shirt. Why not?
Yeah.
I don't give a shit. Like,
I'm wearing a pink shirt right now.
Yeah, I'm wearing a pink shirt right now. I wear pink shirts all the time. I'm not afraid.
No,
I'm not afraid to go see Barbie. I'm not afraid it's going to turn my dick into a vagina. Doesn't work like that, guys. Doesn't work like that. You can't turn your dick into a vagina just by walking into the Barbie movie. You then have to sit through the entire thing. Then you turn into a vagina.
That's right.
So, and you know what? I'm going to give the vagina a chance because...
You should.
I know. It's Barbie.
It's a wonderful world.
What's not to like about the Barbie movie?
That's what I was saying, too. I mean, it's so nostalgic for me and for lots of girls, but also guys, too. Ken,
you know what?
Ken was rocking it.
I liked La La Land so much. Astrid didn't like it, but I liked it so much that I'm willing to go see Ryan Gosling in almost any movie where he sings. Because I was impressed by the whole movie. I thought it was really... Did you like La La Land?
I didn't.
How can you not like La La Land? La La Land was so good.
I'm very particular about my singing movies.
There's only one singing movie that I like. It's La La Land. Mm. That's it. That and Lion King. I mean, there's only two singing movies that I really like. And
I
those
like
are the
Chicago.
Two. I couldn't get into Chicago. I just couldn't do it. No.
Roxy.
I don't even remember the names. That's how bad it was. I watched that... what's that one where the guy did the... The Hans, whatever his name was, or whoever did, what's that movie? Now I can't think of it. Not Les Miserables, but.
A lot of the old ones are classics, like Singing in the Rain
and that kind of thing.
But
there's that famous guy who's famous for making, like, you know, like pastiche, multicolored musical movies.
Oh, wait, did he do the.
Yes.
Not late. Yeah.
Yes, you know who I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about.
Moulin Rouge.
Moulin Rouge. That was it. Moulin Rouge. And I watched that movie, and that was okay, but I couldn't get into it. I had a friend, and she just loved, like, when that came out, that Moulin Rouge, she just burned the fuck out of that CD. And I was like, it's not that good. Like, it's okay, but it's not that good.
What was the one with George Clooney? And they were like, you know...
I'm a constant share of constant follower and refrains. And he said a certain way.
Yes, that one.
Thou shalt, thou art thou, thou art. You know what I'm talking about.
I know, I can't remember it.
We're so bad.
I know.
We're literally two senior citizens trying to remember which musicals are
that
best.
That came out a long time ago.
It did. Where art thou?
Oh, brother, where art thou?
That was it. Yeah, that was a good movie. That was a good movie.
It was a good movie.
Any of those movies with those the Coen brothers is good.
There's not a movie
in the Coen brothers catalog that I don't like.
Exactly.
And Fargo is one of the best movies, in my opinion, that's ever been made.
Fargo is amazing.
Anytime Fargo is on, I will stop and I will watch Fargo. Because the guy, I certainly don't ask me to remember his fucking name, but the guy, William Macy.
Yeah.
How did I even remember that, Brian? That's amazing. I want to talk to my psychiatrist or my therapist and tell her how much I'm remembering. I thought I was getting early onset dementia one time.
No, everybody thinks that.
I know.
We're inundated with so much these days.
So then my doctor gives me a test. So I go into my doctor. I'm having cluster headaches. And so he says, what do you do for the cluster headaches? And again, we're getting completely off track. And I want to get back. I want to get back to this. So I'm putting a post in this because I know I'm going to be frustrated at myself that I didn't
finish
my
I'll write it down. We went back to, we're going to go back to William H. Macy.
Okay. So I go to the doctor, cluster headaches, can't remember a fucking thing. And I'm really concerned. Like, I'm actually legitimately concerned.
Yeah, it's a tumor.
Yeah, it's a tumor. Mm-hmm. I'm dying. I have early onset dementia. That's what's going on. I'm going to be a pile of mush in 5 years, and I won't recognize my children. I'm so stressed out about this for weeks. I finally get an appointment with the doctor that I really respect and like, and he's very pragmatic. He's very pragmatic. He's a pragmatic pragmatist.
Just like me.
So I go in there, and I say, Doc, these headaches, and I can't remember anything. I mean, I don't even remember the guy's name, actually. I don't remember my own doctor's name, so... I really don't remember his name. So this is what I say to him, and he goes, stop. Purple, George Washington, turtle shell. And I'm like, what? And he's like, purple, George Washington, turtle shell. And I'm like, okay. He's like, just remember those three words. And I was like, okay. He's like, continue. And I was like, I got these cluster headaches, but it's And then he stops and he says, red. And I was like, what? And he goes, red, remember that. And I was like, okay. And so then he's like, continue. He says, listen, you're taking ibuprofen for your cluster headaches. Stop taking ibuprofen. You have bounce back headaches. And I'm like, what? He's like, you're physically addicted to ibuprofen. And I'm like, physically addicted to ibuprofen? If I'm going to be physically addicted to anything, it's going to be Vicodin. Why? Ibuprofen? I'm that much of a pussy? I'm that much of a lightweight? I stop drinking, I get addicted to ibuprofen? That's my vice in life? I used to do blow on a Tuesday afternoon off strippers' tits, and now I'm addicted to ibuprofen?
Yeah.
What?
That's what happens.
I am getting early onset dementia from ibuprofen. So this it goes on for half an hour. He tells me all about this, blah, blah, blah. Brian, so then at the end of it, I say, okay, stop taking ibuprofen, do stretches for this, blah, blah, blah. What's the four words I said? And I was like, you know, purple, George Washington, you know, turtle shell, red. And he's like, you have no you're problems good. With your memory. You're good.
You're good. Yeah.
He's like, you're good. He's like, you're old. You're getting old. You're good.
But I tend to think, though, it's, I mean, it has to be something related to, I mean, we're inundated with everything
all
the time.
Yeah, he said
And like, it's so much the fact that, like, I can't even decide where I need to focus. I mean, I want to read the news. I want to listen to the podcast. I want to listen to music. Oh, yeah. And then there's this other thing that I want to go to the museum that's got the thing. It's the thing I wanted to see. And then they're
you're so right. You are so fucking right about this. And then try having children on top of that.
Yeah.
12 children or however many fucking kids are running around this house.
Yeah.
You have all these kids and it becomes the center of attention 24 fucking hours a day. And you're so right about this. Even if I didn't have children, there are so many movies, television shows, books that are half finished, you know, audio podcasts that I start and I never finish. There's and then put on top of that, the pure nonsense that I'm researching for this fucking show all the time.
Right.
My head is literally, I could tell you every crappy dating show that ever existed, but I have a hard time remembering my third child's name. Like, that's how terrible my mind is right now.
Yeah.
And then I decided, and then I talked to him about this, and I think this is true. I think I did have a bit of this, what they refer to as long COVID.
Oh, right.
This brain fog. And I agree, too. I will tell you something. There is a moment, there is like 2 months of this podcast. If I go back and I listen to those episodes, I can tell I'm having brain fog. I can tell I'm struggling to get some words out. I speak so fast that if I make a mistake, I just talk faster. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't give you time to recognize that I'm making a mistake because I just think so fast and talk so fast. But there was a 2 month period when I could tell that I was struggling. I can remember the day, February 15th, day after Valentine's Day.
You can remember the day you lost your memory?
I can remember the day that I lost my memory.
Wow.
I can remember the day when the fog lifted, when I actually felt like I woke up and like my brain was clearer. And I think that has something to do with long COVID.
Yeah, no, I think so too. There's stuff they don't even know about COVID.
Fuck that COVID.
I know.
Fuck that COVID. We're all learning about it now. The masks weren't working. The social distancing was just made up. Listen, they were just doing the best they can with the information they had at the time. I ain't mad. What were they going to do? Nothing? Just say, we don't know, so don't do anything?
Yeah.
That's not what they were going to say. They had to say something. They had to do something, so that's what they did. So when William H. Macy.
Oh, we did it at the same time.
Mind
yes.
melt. It's official. When William H. Macy in that movie starts to come unglued because of his own doing, that is a moment in a movie when you either feel it in your bones or you don't feel it. When he's sitting in his office and someone has called him and they ask him for the VIN numbers because he's been fraudulently stealing the money and taking these loans out and all this other stuff. When in that moment, when you look at his face and he starts thrashing the office around and he's really upset because he knows he just got his wife kidnapped for absolutely no reason, it's not working out. In that moment, you either feel that, you either know that feeling of, oh shit, I fucked up and I need to try and fix it or come clean or whatever, or you don't know that feeling. Brian knows that feeling a million times over because I basically live my life like that. Sorry. Sorry.
Whoops.
So he is so good in that movie.
Yes.
And the Coen brothers directed that movie so brilliantly that in my opinion, in my estimation, you feel that movie, if you feel that movie, you feel it deep down in your bones. Like you just get that sense. You know what you would have done in that similar situation. I know what I would have done had I had my wife kidnapped for money because the commercial break was not making it. What did I just say? Cars. Cars. I meant the cars. Not the commercial break.
Oh my God.
If anybody's out there that
Ooh.
Knows how Chrissy needs to be kidnapped. Don't worry, Chrissy. You're just going on a ride for a few hours.
Oh, okay.
But it's my ploy to get people back on Patreon. If we can get 3 Patreon members, I'll release Chrissy. Could you imagine if someone kidnapped you and the ransom demand was 3 additional Patreon followers? If it was this podcast, Chrissy would be gone forever. No one wants to pay for us. Everyone's happy to ride on their coattails.
Jeff would pay.
I'm not so sure. I mean, I'm sure he would pay, but for Patreon, he'd probably be like, do I really have to get Patreon? Can I just give you the $15? But that's okay. You can go to Rocket Money and cancel your subscription. Rocket Money sponsors this episode.
Rocket Money. I heard you doing that the
good
other day.
Old Rocket Money. Love those guys at Rocket Money.
Yes.
I have to get a tooth pulled.
Oh, yeah. Again?
No, not again. I didn't. What are you talking about again?
Well, you had a root canal.
I had a root canal
situation a while back.
What do you think? I get just teeth falling out of my head? It's because I have early onset dementia. Doesn't mean my teeth are going too.
Is that the same tooth?
Same tooth. Same tooth.
Can't save it.
I had a root canal on this tooth back in January, February. Doctor, actually, let's go back a little bit. Doctor, in November, I go get my teeth cleaning every 3 months. Tooth cleaning.
So, 3 months?
Every 3 months. Yeah.
You get your teeth cleaned every 3
yes,
months?
Yes, I do. Okay. I know you're only supposed to get it done every 5 months or whatever.
Six months.
6 months? When you get, or the insurance allows you to get it done every 6 months. I get it done every
extra
3 months. And I'll tell you why. It's because I have had so many issues with my teeth that I no longer wish to have issues with my teeth. Mm-hmm. I hate it. I hate people putting their hands in my mouth. I hate dental work.
For people that have bad teeth that have to get all that work done.
It's terrible. And thank you. I appreciate the sentiment. It's terrible.
I feel empathy for you.
So thank you. So I go and they do the yearly, you know, whatever, the x-rays or the every twice a year x-rays. They do the x-rays and the doctor comes in and she says, you got a crack in one of your teeth. And I'm like, what? Eesh. And she's like, it's tiny. It's a hairline. And it wasn't bothering me. So I was like, well, it's not bothering me. She's like, I know it's not bothering you now, but it's a crack in your tooth and it's going to bother you at some point. Well, lo and behold, you know, during the holidays, it started bothering me. So in January, February, I go and I get a root canal. Now, like the two other root canals before that I've had in my life, my roots are so deep, they're so big that she has to use special drills to get down to the bottom of them. Yes. And it was a 3-hour procedure the first time. I get out of the chair. I've been there for 3 hours. She's had this thing holding my mouth open the entire time. And on top of that, I have TMJ. So now my entire mouth is just irritated and swollen. So I let it kind of settle down over the next couple of weeks. And then it starts hurting again. That same tooth. I go in. She's like, that's impossible. You have a root canal. If you're having pain, there's something else going on here. So she goes in again. She opens the tooth up again. She goes in again.
I remember when you were doing all of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does it a second time. Then she gives me antibiotics and steroids. Everything goes away. I come back. You know, back in the day, I would have gone to the dentist at least for some good painkillers. You know what I'm saying? I would have walked in and been like, I need some Vicodin for this. But now I'm just I get addicted to ibuprofen, so I can't have any Vicodin. I'm a full-blown addict.
Whatever you ingest. Yeah,
whatever I ingest.
To.
That's right. So then third time's the charm, and still I'm feeling pain. So I go and I get a second opinion. And the lady says the same thing. You got a hairline fracture. The root canal's beautiful. It's been done nicely. But there's a fracture. And fractured teeth, sometimes, the pain cannot be calmed. You have to go get it pulled. So I go to the oral surgeon and he's like, yep, gonna have to yank it. He walks in the door and he's like, yep, gonna have to yank it.
Wow.
And I'm like, of course you would say that. That's your job. I know.
He was amazing.
He was really nice. His nurse was super nice. Yeah, he didn't get a lot of.
She was making up for him.
Yeah, seriously. Well, I waited in a fucking line to get into the dentist yesterday. I guess Mondays is when they do all the consultations and then they do all the surgeries the rest of the week. So I waited in a line. Everybody's getting pushed in and out of there. I walk in. Literally, the nurse spends 30 minutes with me, you know, explaining what's going to happen or what could happen or, you know, the dentist will tell you. He walks in and goes, yeah, I'm going to have to yank it. And I go, why? And he goes, what do you mean, why? Is it hurting you? And I go, yeah. And he goes, well, you got to pull it out. And I was like, I know, but isn't like there's something you could do to save it? He's like, what do you want me to do? I pull it out. I put in a new tooth. That's what I do. That's how I save it.
Right.
Right. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. He's like, but I'm going to have to also do a bone graft. And I'm like, a bone graft?
Bone graft. Jeff's mom had to have that done.
I'm like, why a bone graft? And he's like, well, because when I put the steel peg in your jaw.
Yes, it's a whole thing.
Steel peg in my jaw.
Yep.
What? Really? Mm-hmm. And he's like, yes, really. I'm going to swill this fucking steel peg about an inch and a half up into your jaw. He goes, but it's such a big opening because you have such long roots. I'm going to have to do a bone graft. Here's how I do it. I take blood. I spin out the particles or the platelets or whatever. I just mix it up with sand and I stuff it in your mouth. Your body will recognize it and grow new bone. And I'm like, that sounds awful. And he goes, yeah, it's not very pleasant. But the good news is you'll be asleep. And I'm like, I will. And he goes, if you pay for it. And I'm like, well, you expect me to be awake?
I like this guy.
I know. And he goes, I don't expect you to do anything. He goes, but if you want to be awake, and I go, I don't want to be awake, but it costs more to go to sleep. He's like,
yeah,
I got to get an anesthesiologist. Yeah. He's like, what? Do you not know how this all works? And I was like, no, I don't actually. I've never had a tooth implant. So he says, well, listen, you can do this one of two ways. You do it awake. I'll dope you up as much as I can. I'll make that mouth as numb. But if I had to put my knee on your chest to pull that tooth out, it may be unpleasant.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, you got to be kidding me. And he's like, why do you think we get a tooth out of the head? He's like, you just don't put a string around it and close the door. He's like, I ain't the tooth fairy. This guy was such a character. And I was like, okay, so if you had to put a knee on my chest, he goes, well, some people.
I picture him like,
I know.
On you.
So he says,
can I film this for the commercial
break?
Oh
my God, I wish we could. Maybe. I don't know. I'll ask the guy.
Yeah.
That'd be a good.
He seems like he's open to funniness.
I'm pretty sure that the reason why you don't see a lot of videos of dentists with knees on their chest pulling teeth out is because it's a bad endorsement for their business. You know what I'm saying? So I say to the guy, hey, listen, if you have to just use a little extra force, he's like, listen, it's not about the extra force. Yeah, you got to really yank those things out of there. That's a molar. It's way in there. He's like, I'm going to really get it out. And he goes, and the tooth cracks oftentimes. And when you crack the tooth, then you got to go dig around, get the extra pieces.
The
he's like, some people just find that wholly unpleasant. And I was like, I find talking about it wholly unpleasant. He's like, well, then I think you're a good candidate for anesthesia. However, that does not come for free. And I was like, oh, man, how much is that? He's like, well, I don't handle the financing, but I just want to know if you want to be awake or asleep.
Probably
I'm like,
$10,000.
That's fucking $6,000 to get a tooth taken out of your head and an implant put in. $6,000. And guess how much insurance costs it takes of that? Zero. Yeah. You should have seen the look the financing lady gave me when I go, does my regular? She goes, you're out of benefits, so it's $6,000. And I'm like, and regular health insurance doesn't cover this? And she's like, are you kidding me? I was like, is this whole office full of assholes? Are you all smart asses? Did you go to church? Is this an act you're doing? Are you looking for a sitcom? Is there a pilot for a reality show going on here?
Exactly.
Everybody's funny in their own fucking way. Come on. Let's get it together. So, point being, I got to get this fucking tooth yanked out of my head, and then I got to go get a damn implant, and the whole thing either takes 6 months, or it takes 9 months. It just depends on how you heal.
The bone graft
is the part
that happens first, and it has to see how that takes.
Well, he said if he goes in there, he yanks out the tooth and the roots, and he cleans it all out, and it doesn't look, he's like, if it doesn't look good to me, meaning that there's tissue in there that I see needs to be healed before we do anything, he's like, I close it up with a couple stitches, we wait 3 months, you come back, I do the bone graft, then you wait another 3 months, and then you go get your implant fitted, the actual top of the implant fitted. And I'm like, this sounds a fucking complicated procedure. And
Jeff's mom's been going through this for like 2 years.
Did she pay $6,000?
Oh, she's paid more than that.
I mean, to have a tooth pulled?
Well, poor thing, she, you know, she fell.
Walk. Yeah. She knocked out all her teeth.
Her face, hit the concrete. And emergency dentist, the whole thing.
Hey, girl, while you're down there on the ground with no teeth, I thought you might want to get up and give me a biblically adjusted blowjob. You know what I'm saying? A biblical blowjob. Hey, girl, listen, I ain't asking for much. I'm just asking for a nummy. A gummy.
BBJ.
A BBJ. A biblical Bible blowjob. A BBB. I mean, what would Jesus do? What you got to ask yourself? He washed a lot of feet. I'm sure he would have washed a dick. Had homosexuality been a thing. You know what I'm saying? All right, girl. Call me back when you get those teeth fixed. I can see Carl.
I miss Carl.
I do miss Carl. Carl will be back. Carl's around. I like to hang
in the wings.
Yeah. I like to circle in and out the characters, mainly because I forget how to do their voices sometimes.
He's hanging out with the baby. Baby, what was it?
Baby Satan? No. It's Dante. Baby Dante.
That was it.
Yeah.
Goo goo gaga. The fuck is going on here? Goo goo gaga. Suck my dick. Grandma. Now that you lost all those teeth.
Or was it this? Goo goo gaga.
I think that was it.
I think that was it. Suck my dick. Yeah, that sounds better. That's my voice. Gaga goo goo pee pee poo poo. So your old Grams fell down, hit her face, and then what happened after that?
Well, she's been going through the bone grafting and oral surgery for 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, so be careful.
That's 100% of my lifespan. What do you want? Bitching and complaining. I have had no teeth either. Works out just fine for me. I just grab onto a tit whenever I see one. Speaking of tits, can I borrow one?
Blue.
Oh, is Blue back there? Mm-hmm. Well, good. It's not the kids today. They're gone. So it's just Blue barking at whatever. Blue, what a bitch.
Dante.
Yeah. But speaking of Dante, that's the real Dante mm-hmm. back there. So, yeah, I mean, listen, I know that
it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
She had a lot
sorry.
Of her front
well,
teeth
let me know
knocked
how
out,
I
right?
Can help.
Yeah, you can help by, you know, getting me some of that pain medication your your stepmom had.
Yeah. Right.
Your mother in law. Yeah, I mean, so I say, hey, what's the recovery like? And she's like, well, listen, you got for a couple of days, you just relax,
yeah.
you take it easy, right?
Yeah.
She's like, you have some stitches. First day, you won't do anything. Second day, just rest, take it easy. She called it, you'll be under chair rest, right? Not bed rest, but chair rest. We just want you to relax and hang out. Second day, and then third day, you should be able to try and get back to some of your normal activities. You'll probably still be in some pain. And I'm like, so what's the pain medication situation like here? And she's like, we can give you 12. And I was like, 12? And she's like, 12 actual pills of whatever she said. And I was like, okay, that sounds great. Well, 12 sounds like a minuscule amount of medicine for a lot of damage being done to my tooth. I'm not asking for pain medication. I'm just saying that seems minimal. And she's like, well, we can only dole out 3 days at a time. So if you need more, you have to come back and we actually have to see you and then blah, blah, blah. She mm-hmm. goes, it's a real fucking pain in the ass now. I'm concerned about people who are actually in pain
yeah.
and how they are getting their medication. Because I know that I don't need pain medication. Give me some ibuprofen. I'm already addicted mm-hmm. to that, right? But I feel bad for people who are actually like in pain. And
yeah, it's a whole thing to have to go through. I don't know. I never got into the pain pills, but I mean, it's a whole thing.
I've taken some pain pills in my life.
And people are in chronic
yeah,
pain.
Of course, they're in chronic pain. And one of the only things that can help is opioids, because we don't have mm-hmm. a better solution than opioids. They're like literally the universe's gift to our pain tolerance, right? And so, but then you make this blanket statement that you can't do anything for anybody unless you have 55 pieces of paper, and you know, doctors are getting arrested all over the country, and some of them should be arrested.
Yeah, absolutely.
But others of them are just trying to manage the pain of really chronically sick people who need the pain medication. It's like, if you get to a point in life where you cannot function because of pain, and pain medication gives you an ounce mm-hmm. of hope to have some kind of normal
you
day,
want it again.
You should be able to take that pain medication like fucking syrup. Just drink as much as you want. And people who are dying or who have cancer, those three people, and people who have surgery, you should be able to get the adequate amount of pain relief that you need. And I know the CDC or whoever makes these rules, the FDA, they're lifting some of these guidelines, understanding that people are getting caught in the crosshairs. I don't want to see kids dying in the street either from pill parties or whatever the fuck is going on. I don't want to see kids dying in the street either. What I also don't want to see is people unnecessarily in pain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's it. I don't want to have to go to the internet and buy that. What is that fucking shit that people are buying? What's that shit that people buy at the gas station?
Y-Ryan 3000.
Y-Ryan 3000. Not approved by the FDA or the CDC.
It's like this leaf,
yeah.
The tea that they make with it.
Kratom.
I see it at the local gas station.
Mm-hmm.
They have 50 different kinds of kratom. I saw a guy there the other day. He looked really itchy, by the way. He looked like the kind of guy who needed kratom.
Yeah, I think you
right?
can get addicted
he was like,
to it.
Yeah, he had like it's 107 degrees in Atlanta right now. He had a hoodie on and sweatpants and shoes. And he was like this. And he was asking the guy for like three different types of kratom. And I was like, dude's going through bad withdrawals right now. And apparently kratom is like, it turns on your opioid receptors or
yeah.
whatever. And it helps people with withdrawal and with pain. And thank God, at least this one thing, the federal government hasn't had their claws into. You know what else the federal government should keep their claws out of? I'm going to tell you right now.
What?
I was trolling on the internet.
As you do.
As I do like to do.
TCB.
Hey everybody, it's your favorite part of the show where I pine for more of your attention. First way you can help fill this hole in my soul, go to Apple and leave us a positive review. It takes 2 seconds out of your day and it really does help grow the show. But there's no quid pro quo here. You don't have to give us anything to get something for free. Go to tcbpodcast.com, hit the contact us button and send us your physical address. We'll send you a 21 EPM sticker directly to your locale. You can also go to youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for fully edited episodes the same day they air here on the audio feed. 855-TCB-8383 is where you go to drop us a text message. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas. We take them all at 1-855-TCB-8383. Add the commercial break on Instagram if you're into that kind of thing. And TCB podcast on TikTok. It's what I hear the kids are doing. It's all the rage. One last thing. If you could, if you will, if you would, visit our sponsors' websites. Buy their products if you're in the market for them. And always use our specialized URLs or codes when and if you can. They pay our bills, and who knows, you may be the reason we have electricity in the studio tomorrow, and I thank you ahead of time for that kind gesture. Let's listen to those sponsors for a few minutes, and then we'll be back to this episode of The Commercial Break. This episode is sponsored in part by Rocket Money. During the pandemic, I went on an epic run of bad financial luck, in part because I kept buying billboards in Iowa for the commercial break. Upon further investigation as to where exactly my money was going, I discovered that many, many subscription services were hitting my bank account or my credit cards every single month, and I had not been aware, nor had I been using those subscriptions for months, and in one case, for years. Years I was paying these people. I needed these people to stop charging my credit card. I hadn't used their service in years. That's when I got serious and I downloaded Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that allows you to cancel unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of us have subscriptions that we've forgotten about, and chances are, just like me, they're dinging your credit card or your bank account every month and you don't use the service. Rocket Money is here to help. Our family is a big fan of this application. We've used it long before Rocket Money became a sponsor of the commercial break. I have one finance app, Rocket Money, that I can log into and keep up with all my comings and goings, all the subscriptions I'm paying for, my bills. It helps me track my spending. It even helps me save money. And now Rocket Money is allowing you to try it for 30 days absolutely free. Stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/TCB. That's rocketmoney.com/TCB. We've been using it for a long time. We love it. rocketmoney.com/TCB. And thank you to Rocket Money for being a sponsor of the commercial break. So excited to share with you that Harry's is a sponsor of this episode. Eggs, milk, paper towels, and toilet paper. Four things you never scrimp on, and let me add a fifth. Razors. Guys, as just a young buck up-and-coming TCB podcast host, I would walk into my favorite grocery store and pick out whichever discount disposable razor was on the shelf. Why? Because I didn't know any better, but now I do. Getting a good quality razor means you don't have to cut yourself, nick yourself, and deal with razor burn every morning. And when you're a middling podcast host on camera, that's important every time I get in the studio. I do it for you. I shave for you. But I don't want to deal with all the drama that a bad razor can cause. And that's why 6 years ago, I switched to Harry's. Nothing's more exciting than getting a new Harry's package in the mail. And when I get a new razor handle, man, am I super excited, because it feels heavy and weighty in your hands. Gives you the ability to shape and curve that beard just how you want to, and whatever else you're going to do on your body, that's your own business. Harry's can take care of it. No more razor burn. No more bad shaves. No more weird beard angles because you can't get your disposable razor to run around that chiseled jaw that you have. And no more toothpaste on your neck because you're bleeding everywhere from a bad shave. Harry's has you covered. Harry's.com/TCB is where you get your starter pack for just $3. Get your best shave this summer with Harry's. Guys, get your best shave this summer with Harry's razors and skincare products. Get a $13 starter set for just $3 at Harry's.com/TCB. That's Harry's.com/TCB for a $3 starter set. 6 years and counting, I swear by Harry's. I love this company. Harry's.com/TCB for a $3 starter set. You're going to look high and tight this summer. Go get it. Harry's.com/TCB. And thank you to Harry's for becoming a sponsor of the commercial break.
TCB.
Tina and I were trolling on the internet together, not in the same place, but together, going back and forth about a content idea. And Tina sent me the most interesting Instagram reel I've seen in a long time. And it was a lady who said, it said, this is why Gen X doesn't trust anyone. And then this lady goes on and she says, I can't believe you motherfuckers are trying to make me feel crazy again. And I was like, starts off kind of weird, right? I thought she's maybe Tina was sending me something about a video of someone coming unglued. Well, she does come unglued. And she comes unglued because she says, I spent my entire childhood almost every week looking at the mail that came in the door because that was a form of entertainment, to look at the mail that came in the door, the actual mail, physical mail. And every fucking week for however many years of my life, Ed McMahon was on the front of the Publisher's Clearinghouse sweepstakes, came to our house every week. And now the internet is trying to tell me that that never happened. Ed McMahon was never part of Publisher's Clearinghouse. So I'm like, what the fuck is this lady saying? She's like, it's been wiped of the internet. Ed McMahon clearly was the Publisher's Clearinghouse guy. Did you remember Ed McMahon?
Of course.
Giving away Publisher Clearinghouse checks at front doors?
Yes.
I'm about to blow your fucking nuts off.
No way.
Never happened. It never happened. He never worked for Publisher's Clearinghouse ever. He never gave a check on behalf of Publisher's Clearinghouse.
He was just like a paid actor.
He was never a paid actor. He never had anything to do with Publisher's Clearinghouse. He was never on the mail. He was never.
Well, who was the guy?
There was another guy. He was an old gray-haired guy. But Ed McMahon had nothing to do with it, yet millions of us remember it differently. How is that possible? Mandela in full effect. Yeah. Mandela effect in full effect.
Wow.
Ed McMahon was known for two things. Hola! Right?
Star Search.
Star Search.
Yep.
And Publisher's Clearinghouse. And then he happened to be Johnny Carson's guy, but Johnny Carson was gone when we were kids. I mean, he wasn't around for very long. But he was Johnny Carson's wingman on that show. He said almost nothing. He laughed loudly like Santa Claus. Oh, 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 oh. At anything everybody said. He was basically a stool pigeon for Johnny Carson. He was like just a guy who sat there and laughed at Johnny Carson. So
he was Johnny Carson's binky.
That's right. He was Johnny Carson's binky. Chrissy's my Ed McMahon. Only she actually talks. I don't think he was allowed to talk, actually. I think contractually, Johnny didn't like him. Johnny was like, go fuck yourself, Ed. You're riding on my coattails for 50 years! So Ed McMahon is Johnny Carson's wingman when Johnny Carson was the host of The Tonight Show way back in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and part of the 80s. Then he starts to do a show called Star Search.
That was huge.
Which is like an early Voice.
Or American Idol.
Or America's Got Talent, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of people that would go up. There would be a panel of judges. They would audition. The judges would judge them. And then they would go head-to-head. Two singers. Two dance groups. Comedians.
Yep.
And famous people got their start.
Tons.
Jerry Seinfeld was on there, I think. Jerry Seinfeld was on there, I think.
A bunch of people.
And a bunch of people lost, by the way. A bunch of people lost Star Search, became very famous.
True.
So that's the second thing he was known for. Then the third thing that we, Gen X, Z, whatever you want to call us, that we knew Ed McMahon for was that goddamn
research into
Publisher's Clearinghouse. I did. And let me explain why we all think this.
Okay.
I'm about to solve this for everybody. I'm about to solve this problem pragmatically because I'm a pragmatic pragmatist. I'm a husband, a father. Pragmatic pragmatist, a host of a mediocre middling podcast. Number 312 on the charts. I went back and listened to one of our episodes, and we were celebrating being number 70 in Germany. We thought that was the best thing in the world. It was the best thing in the world. If we could only get back to that high point in our career. That was like the high water mark for the commercial break. Number 70 in Germany. Okay, I'm about to solve it. You ready?
Yes.
For evidence number one. You don't remember Ed McMahon being a part of Publisher's Clearinghouse. You remember Ed McMahon being a part of American Family Giveaway, American Sweepstakes, American Family Sweepstakes, I think is what it was called.
Was that like a competitor?
It was a competitor. It was very similar. As a matter of fact, it was similar in every single way. They basically sent coupons to you. Mm-hmm. They tried to get you to sign up for one of the services. So here's how it went. They would send a big mailer out. Ed McMahon would be on the front of that mailer, not PCH, but the other one. they would send a big mailer out. It had a bunch of coupons, like hundreds of coupons in there.
Yeah, for like gutter removal.
Garage doors.
Yeah, it was like a lot of home stuff.
A lot of home stuff, like as seen on TV bullshit, services, you know, stuff you could buy, and then you had a coupon for it. They also tried to get you to sign up to magazines. Publishers Clearinghouse specifically was trying to get you to sign up for year-long subscriptions of magazines, and they sold millions and millions and millions of magazines this way. This other one was more about the coupons. And then you would, you know, you would fill out your form, you would send it in, they would pick one winner every couple of months to win $1 million, $2 million, or $10 million, depending on which. And all you didn't have to purchase anything. All you had to do was send in. And then they would film them giving away these fake, big fake checks.
Surprising people.
They would knock on your front door.
Yeah. Hey, with the balloons.
Hey, you won $1 million. Yeah, woo! So I present to you the evidence that conclusively puts this one to bed. And this is a big internet sensation right now. People are going crazy. They can't believe that Ed never was a part of PCH. But he wasn't. He was a part of this. Watch. Oh, here's let me start it over again.
Is that Ed McMahon and Dick Clark?
Yep.
Has it really been 10 years, Ed?
Sure has. 10 years of American Family Millionaires.
And some have actually won $10 million?
Oh, yes. More $10 million winners than $2 million winners. Here's our latest $10 million winner, Andy Biggs.
Congratulations. Are you glad you entered?
You bet.
You bet. I got a room full of whores and cocaine right now. What do you guys say we party? Come on, Dick. Your name's Dick. You're Dick fucking Clark. I know you've had a few snorts. I mean, you did American Bandstand in the 70s. Tell me that George Clinton didn't give you some cocaine for your little nose.
Unbelievable.
Well, I'll tell you what. Watch your mail for the envelope with my picture. I'll announce the $10 million number before you know it.
Don't miss out.
Enter now.
They paid those guys a lot of money.
They paid those guys a shit ton of money. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where I think everybody, where kind of where this gets a little funky in people's heads. Snopes, which I trust most of the time, says that he definitely had no relationship with Publishers Clearinghouse. However, since he was known for being this guy that was giving away money on this American Family sweepstakes, he got lumped in with the Publishers Clearinghouse. And a lot of
in our memories
news reports, places where he would show up, like The Tonight Show, The Tom Green Show, The Arsenio Hall Show, other interviews he did, they would say, it's amazing you've been doing this Publishers Clearinghouse thing for years and you've been giving away millions of dollars to unsuspecting people who got in this thing. He would never correct them. He wouldn't correct them. They would say it. He wouldn't, but he would not correct them. For whatever reason, he just kept it rolling.
Yeah, he's like, whoever's paying me.
He doesn't even know. Yeah, he doesn't even fucking know. Ed is like, I don't give a shit. Yeah. What does it matter to me? Fill out one of them, you know? Right. Fill out both of them. I don't care. So Ed never made it clear in these interviews that he was not, in fact, working for Publishers Clearinghouse. Look, that was from 1994. This is from 1992.
Dick, I'd like you to meet David Brumbelow.
Hi, David.
He's American Family's first $10 million winner.
What did you think when you saw Ed's picture in your mail?
I knew I better enter fast.
You didn't.
I knew I wanted to stick my dick in the envelope. That's what I knew.
I better enter fast.
So I finished my dozen Krispy Kremes, and I went to the post office, and I got myself some 2-cent stamps. And then I sent it back in, and then before you know it, I'm $10 million richer. I lost my wife and all my children.
I guess it was kind of before like lotteries took hold.
No, lottery's been around for a long time in one way, shape, or form. Like the lottery in Chicago, the Illinois lottery, since I was a kid, right?
But Georgia didn't get theirs until
Until the 90s, like around the Olympics. Yeah. But they became popular, I would say, in the 90s. Almost every state had some kind of lottery. So yeah, you might be right. Before they kind of took hold.
This was a way to win big money,
and you had to do
without
nothing.
Going to a casino. Yeah,
yeah. Look at Bill Blundelberger here.
Yeah, yeah.
Blundelberger.
He looks excited, doesn't he?
He looks like Bill Blundelberger. That's what he looks like.
You had the winning entry.
No, but I sure wanted the $10 million.
That's the spirit, David. Why let all that money go to someone else?
Yeah, why not enter? It's the best thing I ever did.
Right.
Yeah, why not enter? It's the best thing I ever did.
He looks like the lost member of the Mountain Monsters cast.
He does.
I don't mean to be mean, but that $10 million went to good use immediately. He went to McDonald's and bought one. Not a burger, a McDonald's.
Return your sweepstakes entry from Dick and me now.
Ed's going to announce the winning number for American Family soon.
Real soon.
Well, that's cryptic. Real soon. He's pointing to the camera. Real soon.
That's weird.
It's like subliminal messaging. Weird. Like old ladies across the country wake up, start murdering cats. Must murder Ed McMahon's cats. Ah! Ah!
Oh, my
No!
Okay, well, the mystery has been solved.
The mystery?
Then. Thank God you spent all your time looking into that.
I looked into it. I also watched a bunch of Star Searches, because why not? Yeah. I'm bored. I'm here all alone. No one's with me.
Aww.
Oh, man.
I'm here.
I know. You're going to be here when I'm a toothless wonder?
I will help
you. Luckily,
yes.
It's on my non-camera side.
I'm a good nurse.
Yeah.
I'm a good nurse.
I know you are. Mm-hmm. I know you are. And, you know what else you can do? You can nurse your hangover and go to our website, tcbpodcast.com. That's where you find out more information about Chrissy and I. Read all the show notes. You can watch all the video. You can listen to all the audio. It's all there. One location right there at tcbpodcast.com.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. But more importantly, if you want to send in your full name and address, we'll enter you into our sweepstakes for a free sticker.
And you're guaranteed to win.
A guaranteed winner. You can get a What Would Frankie Do sticker. You want to collect them all. Don't be shy. If you have a Series 1 sticker, you'll want a Series 2 sticker.
Yes.
These are going to be worth real money someday, folks. Who needs Ed McMahon? You've got Commercial Break Series 1 and Series 2 stickers.
That's right.
This is actually Series 3 if you were lucky enough to get a guitar pick sticker.
Mm-hmm.
So do this. Go to the website, hit the Contact Us button, drop us your name and your full physical address. We will send you a sticker. The next one coming out is What Would Frankie Do?
WWFD.
You're going to want one of these. So go drop us your name and your address and we'll send it off. YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. Morgan does such a great job editing these episodes for YouTube. You'll find them funny, a lot more interesting than not looking at our faces is looking at our faces. You want to see how ugly we are? Ugly I am. Go to YouTube.com/The Commercial Break and do us a favor. We'd love to get to 5,000 subscribers, guys. I mean, there's
we're
a
close.
Lot of you that listen to this show.
I think we're close.
No, we're not.
No.
No. Okay. So, but if everybody would go and subscribe, we'd be there in a minute. So please do it. Go to YouTube.com/The Commercial Break. Subscribe and like on any of your favorite videos at The Commercial Break on Instagram and the ever popular TCB podcast on TikTok. Also, 1-855-TCB-8383. That's 1-855-TCB-8383. Toll free from anywhere in the world. Text us your comments, questions, concerns, or content ideas. We'd love to hear them. And, yeah, okay. So, listen, I debunked the myth. That's all I can do today, Chrissy.
I think so.
So, I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
And best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I do say, we always say, and we must say,
goodbye.